Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Thursday, August 8th, and on this edition of The Cross in the Desert, I want to talk about the recent tightening of the noose of sanctions on the Iranian government, where now Foreign Minister Zarif has been tightened in the sanctions. And I want to get a short report on this to you, because Iran, under the pressure of these sanctions, the noose around their neck, has threatened war against the United States, saying it will be the mother of all wars.
Iranian President Rouhani lashing out over crippling economic sanctions, saying ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz may not be safe, and warning that a war with Iran could be, quote, the mother of all wars. Ellison Barber's live in our Mideast Bureau with more on that. Ellison.
Hi, Sandra. Yeah, President Hassan Rouhani made those comments about the mother of all war during a speech that was broadcast live on state TV. He also suggested, as he has done in the past, that shipping in the Strait of Hormuz might not be safe. Listen here.
If you want safety for your soldiers in the region, security would be for security. You cannot blemish our security and then expect security for you. Peace for peace, oil for oil.
Israel's foreign minister reportedly told Israeli legislatures Israel is participating in U.S.-led efforts to secure commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, namely participating in intelligence efforts. All of this as reports surfaced that Iran unveiled new air-to-air missiles in Tehran. State TV and Iran's semi-official news agency shared images purportedly of the defense ministry unveiling two new precision-guided munitions and a new generation of an electro-optical guided bomb. Iran says they'll be mass-produced and given to the military. According to Israeli news outlets, Iran's parliament speaker also warned today that all U.S. bases in the region are within striking distance if any war were to break out. President Rouhani, meanwhile, reiterating the Iranian position that the Trump administration's policy of maximum pressure amounts to economic terrorism. Rouhani says if talks are going to take place, that the U.S. must lift all sanctions and that Iran must be able to sell their oil. Sandra?
Allison Barber, thank you.
Well, since that news report, Iran once again in the Straits of Hormuz has secured and detained another tanker. The pressure is on. Their economy is in such a spiraling downfall. This happened just recently when John Bolton was interviewed on Fox News about the tightening of the noose against Iran on sanctions. He was referring to Foreign Minister Zarif. Let's listen to this report.
A conflict in Iran and with Tehran, the Trump administration placing sanctions on Iran's foreign minister, Javad Zarif. Zarif was one of the main negotiators of the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani slammed the sanctions, calling it childish. Joining me right now, U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton. And Ambassador, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Glad to be with you. Thanks for coming to Washington.
Why was it important to put the sanctions specifically on him, on Zarif?
Well, let's remember that Iran has been a state sponsor of terrorism since listed by Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. This is a fundamentally illegitimate regime. Zarif is the mouthpiece of the regime. He's really Iran's equivalent of P.T. Barnum. You know, there's a sucker born every minute, and he's found suckers in the United States and Europe. He got him to agree to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. He's not a diplomat. He's a con man. He's a shill. He's a grifter. This is the sort of step by the United States that shows he's illegitimate.
What is that going to do for him? I mean, how does this hurt him?
Well, I think the idea that he's a serious interlocutor with the United States is just false. The real decision maker in Iran is the Ayatollah Khamenei. They call him the supreme leader. That's a good title to keep in mind. Zarif is just a mouthpiece. I mean, for those who are concerned about Javad Zarif and this step, they ought to consider a recent Reuters story from mid-June. I'll just reputable news agency.
You've got it in your hand. Read
the headline. Iran's top diplomat says his country executes gay people because of moral principles. That's our man, Javad Zarif.
Moral principles. Unbelievable that
really?
They execute people just whenever they want to do and whenever they want to do it.
He defends it with a straight face. So when he tells us they're complying with the Iran nuclear deal, take it for what it's worth.
So the president pulled out of that deal. Who's going to pull out next? Do you think Iran is going to just blow it off? It says that it's been enriching uranium anyway.
Well, they've already exceeded two of the key limits of the deal. They've threatened to exceed a third. They're trying basically to blackmail the Europeans to give them economic benefits from it. Here's the key point, and I think the president understood this last year when he withdrew the U.S. from the deal. Iran has never made a strategic decision to give up the pursuit of nuclear weapons. They could do it clandestinely. They could do it with North Korea. They could do it a lot of different ways. This deal was utterly inadequate. Presidents rightfully characterized it as the worst debacle in American diplomatic history. And that's what we're dealing with. Their behavior in a variety of other fronts is bad, too. Within the Middle East, they're attacking tankers. They're threatening oil shipments in the Persian Gulf region. They've got conventional forces in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. They're still the largest state sponsor of terrorism. This is a very, very bad regime.
So, you know, right now it feels like the U.S.'s moves are being talked about in Europe, but they're not acting on it. Do we have an allied front against Iran? Where is Europe on this?
Yeah. Look, I don't think there's any disagreement at all on the objective of making sure Iran doesn't get nuclear weapons. There are still some in Europe who think the deal was a good deal. I think that's beginning to change in Britain, for example, as they get closer to leaving the European Union. The president's been very open to talking to the Iranians, as he said, since 2016. They don't seem to want to talk to us. So I think this is the sanctions against Zarif, which follow the sanctions about a month ago against the supreme leader himself. Telling the Iranians you need to change your behavior in very fundamental ways. They had not taken steps to do that.
That's what I was just going to say. Do you see any efforts whatsoever to respond to the U.S. pushing back and saying we're not going to tolerate this? They're not changing at all.
No, look, I think they, for reasons best known to them, feel very strong about this. That's great. We feel strongly, too. They will never get nuclear weapons, and their support for terrorism and their other malign behavior in the Middle East is unacceptable.
Let me move on to North Korea.
That is an extensive report on Fox News with John Bolton about the current tightening of the new sanctions situation in Iran. In all of this, we cannot forget the Iranian people. President Trump is an ally, a great support for the Iranian people who suffer on a daily basis, both men and women, under the noose of dictatorship in Iran. So let's never forget to speak out for them, their human rights, their freedom, and to pray for the Iranian people. Speaking of prayer, last weekend, I was greatly surprised about someone I have been speaking out and praying for many years since I've been doing this broadcast, since I've been writing books about Iranians. I saw a video on the internet last weekend of my Facebook friend, Miriam Melekpour, walking with her brother in Canada, Saeed Melekpour. And I looked at it and I said, is this real? Is this true? And I did some research, and I discovered at that time that my Facebook friend I've been praying for and speaking out for, Saeed Melekpour, who had been in prison in Iran for over 11 years, had found his way to Canada. And I was just thrilled. I thought, but I never read about anywhere that he had been released. And then I began to do some research, and I came to discover that Saeed Melekpour had been furloughed from prison for a few days, and he was helped to escape from the country. In a tweet and in an announcement, his sister, Miriam Melekpour, said, "My brother Saeed Melekpour has just arrived to Canada. The nightmare is finally over. Thank you, Canada, for your leadership. And thank you to every single person who supported us throughout this time." This Iranian-born Canadian resident had been imprisoned in Iran. Last year, he suffered a heart attack. I had a picture of Saeed in a wheelchair, and his sister, Miriam, has been fighting for his freedom since he was incarcerated in 2008. And she has been busy on Twitter, and she has been working with the Canadian Parliament, and she has been fiercely fighting for his freedom. Saeed had arrived at Vancouver International Airport last Friday evening, and it's just a miracle. It is another demonstration of God's grace in answering the prayers of his children. Saeed, just a little background about him, was a web programmer living in Vancouver with his wife. Now, what happened is back in 2008, he went to Iran to visit his ailing father. And he was soon arrested by members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard as part of a crackdown on online activities that they deemed immoral or un-Islamic. Saeed, being a web programmer, had a website. Someone had infiltrated that particular website with pornographic pictures, and he was accused of running a pornographic website. And of course, that was not true. Really, really bad situation for him. He was held at Tehran's notorious prison, where he was beaten, held in solitary confinement, tortured with electric shocks, and threatened with sexual violence. Now, in 2010, his death sentence was overturned, and they forced him to confess to creating software that was used to post pornographic photos. These forced confessions are just what they are. They're forced. Now, again, Saeed maintained that software was an open source, and he was unaware of its use on other websites. He was sentenced to death for spreading corruption on Earth in relationship to this software. But in 2012, his sentence was commuted to life in prison. So this imprisonment has been such a pressure and a hardship on Miriam. And I have talked with her, but she never, ever gave up. She is quite the sister who fights for her brother's freedom. And what had happened, he was granted furlough. That is, Saeed was granted a three-day furlough under a lot of pressure from outside sources. And it was during that time that Payman Akhavan, who is an international law expert, said that no one in Iran, including family members and lawyers, were even aware of Melekpour's plan to leave the country. And it was far from certain, Akhavan said, that the plan to bring him to Canada would succeed. So we are all very, very relieved. And it was such a big deal. It was such a dangerous escape. But again, Saeed received help from a third country, which there's no name of who that was. But again, I am just so thankful that the hard work of his sister, the hard work of Amnesty International, the hard work of the Canadian Parliament to give Saeed a voice, to keep his case right out there so that the public would not forget about him, and especially our sovereign Lord, who opened the prison door for Saeed and who assisted him in his escape. Again, I want to just thank the Lord for hearing the cries of his children, for hearing the millions of prayers for Saeed's escape. I have seen the Lord work in so many powerful ways for my friend Sholi Pakravan and her daughter Shahzad were able to escape from Iran and leave the country to go to Turkey, and they're now living in Germany as refugees, soon to become citizens as they learn the language and assimilate. I've seen the Lord move in the situation for my friend Miral. I wrote her story in a book called Finding Hope and Freedom. And it took a miracle for Miral to escape Iran when the police were planning to arrest her. And she escaped with a refugee group and made her way to Germany, where she is safe today. I have seen the Lord do many amazing things in response to our praying. And so I want to say, Saeed, welcome home. I am so thrilled for your freedom. And let's not forget to pray for Saeed as he assimilates again into his country in Canada and begins his life over again. 11 years of his life were taken away, but now he has it back again, and I'm so happy for him. I want to talk to us this morning a little bit about the situation with another dual citizenship person, because Saeed was one, and that is Nazanin Ratcliffe, who has been in prison in Iran since April of 2016. And we need a little bit of background about her situation. And so I want to play now this short promo to introduce you to Nazanin Ratcliffe's situation.
Hi, my name is Nazanin Bonyadi. For more than a year, I've been campaigning with Richard Ratcliffe, whose wife, British-Iranian dual national Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, is being held captive in Iran by the Revolutionary Guards. In April 2016, on her way back to the UK, after visiting her parents in Iran, Nazanin was arrested at the airport and imprisoned on sham national security charges. Her then 22-month-old daughter, Gabriella, was taken from her by security agents and sent to live with her grandparents in Tehran. Richard has not been granted a visa to see his wife or his daughter. For 19 months, the UK refused to condemn Nazanin's imprisonment, while it pursued business and trade deals with the Islamic Republic. There's no evidence to support the charges against Nazanin, and now she's facing new charges based on the same unfounded claims. You may think there's nothing you can do to help, but there is. Tell your MPs, and as a voter, you demand Great Britain defends its citizens and defends the rule of law. Demand that the Islamic Republic upholds its international human rights obligations, stops using dual nationals as political pawns, and puts people before politics. Let officials know that you will not sit by silently while Nazanin sits behind bars. Let Nazanin know she's not alone. Let's reunite this family.
That's right. This is what the Iranian regime does. They use these dual citizenships as political pawns. A couple of months ago, at the beginning of summer, her husband, Richard Ratcliffe, began a hunger strike in front of the Iranian embassy in London, and his wife, Nazanin, simultaneously began a hunger strike that lasted for 2 weeks. I want you to hear this special report.
Happy birthday to you. It was the fifth birthday of Gabriella Zachary Ratcliffe earlier this week that prompted her mother and now her father to begin their hunger strikes. And this was the moment the family, friends and supporters FaceTimed Gabriella, who's living with her grandparents in Iran.
Well, so legally she's entitled to unconditional release, which is why she goes on hunger strike. Obviously, if she was feeling optimistic, she wouldn't have gone on hunger strike. If I was feeling optimistic, I wouldn't be joining her. There's always the potential for something good to happen, but it hasn't yet.
So you're following. A meeting with the Foreign Secretary this morning was encouraging. Jeremy Hunt calling on the Iranian regime to do the right thing and show the world their humanity.
This is an incredibly brave family. Their daughter was 5 years old last week. Nazanin's been in prison for more than half her daughter's life. And we are thinking of them. And our message to Iran is, whatever the disagreements you may have with the United Kingdom, there is an innocent woman at the heart of this. She just wants to get back together with her daughter, Gabriella, to reunite that family. Please show that you have humanity. Show that you have a heart. Let Nazanin come home.
And all the while, volunteers were knitting what they called the chain of care, with a link for every day Nazanin has been in jail for supposedly being a member of an illegal organization.
Mr. Zachary Ratcliffe has admitted he would not have advised his wife to begin a hunger strike now, given the simmering tensions between the West and the Iranian regime in Tehran. But he's vowing to continue his hunger strike here for as long as his wife continues hers in Iran.
The plan is for Mr. Zachary Ratcliffe to camp on the pavement outside the embassy for as long as it takes to win his wife's freedom. Phil Edwards, Sky News, Central London.
That particular hunger strike with Nazanin Ratcliffe actually went on for about 2 weeks, and then she decided to break it. She didn't want her health to deteriorate anymore because she was thinking of her daughter, Gabriella, who had just turned 5, and she hadn't seen in such a long time. This is such a sad and sobering situation. Her husband, Richard, has been in the public limelight for as long as she's been in captivity to bring her case to the UK Parliament, to speak out with Boris Johnson, who is now the new prime minister. And we're hopeful, with Boris Johnson now being the new prime minister, that things will begin to happen. But of course, you know, in the news, in the Straits of Hormuz, the Iranian has seized another ship, and one of it was one of the British oil tankers. And so the tensions continue as Iran uses these dual nationalists, because Nazanin is both a British and an Iranian citizen. They use them as political pawns. So I have no doubt that our great God, who was so gracious to answer prayers for Saeed's release, that he, the God of compassion, will do the same for Nazanin. You know, he's in control of world events. Things just don't happen by luck or chance. He has it all in his sovereign care and in his sovereign hands. So please continue to join me as we be a voice for Nazanin Ratcliffe, prisoner of Iran. And one day, I hope on my weekend that I see a video of this brave woman suffering in Evin prison, that she will be returned to her husband and her daughter. And if you know anything about this story, you know that she was falsely accused of being a spy. She worked for the Reuters Foundation, but in no way was she doing any illegal spying. And so we need to be a voice for Nazanin. We need to keep her case before the watching world so that no one forgets her, in the same way that no one forgot Saeed Malekpar those 11 years. The whole key to this is to not stop speaking out, and of course, to never stop praying. As the summer winds down and the fall is upon us, I wanted to give you an announcement that my dear friend Manoush and I will be writing a new book together this fall. Now, there are stories of Iranian refugees that Manoush is collecting in their own words of what they've had to go through leaving their homeland and going to host countries to become asylum seekers. And so they're writing the stories in their own words. And all that Nanush and I are going to do is to correct them, to tweak the English, and to help these stories to be better. We're serving as editors. Our new book is entitled Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cries of Iranians. Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. We hope to have it out in January of 2020. We're going to write a couple of articles in the book. One will be by Nanush as she talks about the dramatic answer to prayer when she was granted a citizenship in Sweden. She received her card. The immigration board approved her, and now she's working hard through a lawyer to get her mother from Iran to join her in Sweden. And so again, I just am in awe of how God answers prayers for my Iranian friends. And the latest one is Saeed. And before that was Manoush, as she went through this process to be approved by the immigration board in Sweden. And that was not for certain, because many Iranians in the past had been deported back to Iran. But we went through this process together, and we're excited that our new book will begin work on the fall and putting together the stories of Iranian refugees struggling for freedom all over the world. Well, it's been such a joy to bring to you this morning these important stories happening in Iran. This is the 40th year since the Iranian Revolution, and I am hopeful that very soon more uprisings will begin, and that this government will be forced into exile, and democracy and freedom will once again come to Iran. But you and I have to be vigilant in speaking out, in praying, in writing the stories of Iranians. And I just believe with all of my heart that very soon a miracle is going to happen. The Iranians are looking for democracy and freedom, and democracy and freedom are gifts from God, and we must never forget how God is in control of all world events and that he will accomplish his purpose. I want to thank all of you for listening this morning to The Cross in the Desert. I want you to have an incredible weekend, and I will see you on the next Cross in the Desert on Monday morning. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the high and stormy gale.